Looking for signs of the financial future in Turkey.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Giotakis. We've got the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Turkey goes to the polls this weekend, and Sunday's election will be watched closely as the first democratic election in the region since the Arab Spring began. The ruling party, which has been in power for almost a decade, is widely expected to win because of one key factor, the economy. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports from Istanbul.
Here on the streets of Istanbul, you could easily think that Turkish politicians aren't engaged in a battle of ideologies, but in a battle of the bands. Ahmet Gümüş, who's a campaign volunteer, is here to drum up votes for the ruling AKP party. He flips through campaign brochures, showing me what the party's accomplished. He says, we've built roads, inflation is down, Europe and the Middle East are investing here. Turkey's economy is growing at 9%, which is roughly the same rate as China. Inflation is under control. Ordinary Turks, who once had to get around the country by bus, can now afford to fly from one of the dozen or so new airports that have been built. Ali Çarkoğlu is a political scientist at Koç University in Istanbul.
And almost everywhere you can take a plane ticket and fly within an hour or so. And when you get on a plane, you see that, you know, quite modest background Turkish peasants are also using the plane.
And the AKP is quick to take credit. Its election ads boast of how much things like education and healthcare have improved. As some voters are afraid the party wants to lead the country in a more Islamic and less secular direction. But Çarkoğlu says economically, you can't deny that it's delivered the goods.
On the economic front, I can think of no significant group, basically, who would make a time-wise comparison and say, I'm worse off.
But Turkey has been through a lot of boom and bust cycles in the past, and many people say it's due for a downturn. Here in Istanbul, though, and in much of the rest of the country, voters seem to be buying the party's economic pitch. Bilal Deniz owns a jewelry store. He never really bothered to vote before because he thought all politicians were corrupt. But he says after the last 8 years, you can't deny the current government has been good for Turkey's economy and good for him. So on Sunday, he'll vote for the first time for the AKP. In Istanbul, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
The tiny Gulf state of Bahrain confirmed today it will not host a major international auto race this year. The Formula One race was first canceled in March because of civil unrest related to the Arab Spring. But last week, the race was surprisingly rescheduled for the fall, only to be canceled again today, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Last week's decision to reschedule the Grand Prix race was made by the Formula One organizers, but the teams taking part in the race rebelled. They said it should not go ahead, citing logistical and insurance issues. However, says Jonathan Reynolds, editor of Formula One Racing magazine, the heavily sponsored teams are more likely worried about commercial damage.
I think it's just important for any global sport these days, with a huge number of sponsors and corporations attached to it, like Formula One, that you make sure that you get your image right. And going to a country like Bahrain is not very good for Formula One's image.
Bahrain has now accepted the decision to cancel the race, but this will be a big financial blow. The event was expected to inject $500 million into the Bahraini economy. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The numbers are mixed across the globe this morning. In Europe this hour, London and Frankfurt exchanges are up a tiny fraction, while Paris is off a quarter percent. Meantime, sharp disagreement in Europe over how to resolve the debt crisis in Greece has been pulling the euro lower.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
In Europe this week, the mobile phone company Ericsson rolled out its new plan to let customers pay for things by mobile phone. Similar early-stage tests are going on in the U.S., But the mobile payments aren't new in East Africa, where few people outside major towns have access to traditional bank accounts. So they've been making payments through their phones for years. The BBC's Anna Cavell reports from Uganda.
On the Uganda street, it's as easy and quick to receive money as it is to receive a text message. A registered user can just take their mobile phone to one of the phone company's storefronts, show the message, pay a small fee, and then receive that money in cash. It's now commonplace for people to pay for all sorts of things using their mobile phones, even utility bills and school fees. Kenneth Munyi at Kampala's Protea Hotel used to have to pay his staff in cash.
We had a lot of concern about staff queuing in the office asking for getting paid, and we discovered that it's a nice method of paying people because they won't actually have to come to the office to get paid.
Before mobile money, if somebody wanted to send cash back to their village, they'd have to carry or ship it back. But since so many people in East Africa now have mobile phones, it's possible to send cash around with much less risk of theft. In Kampala, Uganda, I'm the BBC's Anna Cavell for Marketplace.
And finally, suck up to the boss. It's good for you. According to a newly published study, fawning over the boss isn't just an effective way to climb the career ladder. It can also help you stay healthy. According to the Journal of Management Studies, the reason is simple. Employees who ingratiate themselves with the boss, and with their coworkers for that matter, stress out less about their job security, which means you won't be so tired or depressed at work. Well, if that's the case, I'd like to dedicate our closing theme this hour to all the bosses here at Marketplace.
And I don't say this to everybody. You look marvelous. Absolutely marvelous.
The credit goes to Billy Crystal for that, of course. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Here's an idea to save the environment. Biking by any means necessary.
Even if she's wearing a beautiful Kate Spade dress and high-heeled shoes, she's still going to get on her bike and go across town because she loves adventure and loves exploring, and that's just her spirit.
Marketers are taking note. I'm Tess Vigeland, pimping the two-wheeled lifestyle. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.